I've been wanting an insider to come on the show for a while just because there's so many questions that only an insider could answer. And thankfully, my friend CJ Holmes, the Golden State Warriors beat reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle, said yes, he's coming on the show next to answer those burning questions that I have about the Warriors. What's going on with James Wiseman, Jermichael Green, and that leg injury, and why didn't he play last game? The two-way players, are they a permanent part of this team? Are the Warriors going to be active in terms of the trade market? Should they be concerned about Bob Myers being on the final year of his contract? There are so many questions we need to answer, and CJ Holmes of the San Francisco Chronicle joins me next to try and answer all of them. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel, the official sports book of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. You can follow CJ Holmes on Twitter at CJHolmes22. He is the beat reporter covering the Golden State Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle. CJ, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show again, man. Your 1 year anniversary is coming up. Happy early congrats on that. And my first question to you, I've been wanting an insider on the show for a while now, and you're the perfect person. Thank you again. The Warriors right now are 10th in the standings. I guess technically they're tied for 9th because of win percentage. They're actually 10th, tied with the Oklahoma City Thunder. This late in the season, in your opinion, do the Warriors represent what the record shows? Is this a team that's just in a malaise, maybe from boredom? What are your thoughts? What's your analysis of this Warriors team at this point of the season?
They're a team that struggles to win on the road. They're a team that struggles to close out games. They're a team that's now lost 4 straight at Chase Center. And they're a team that can't stay healthy of guys coming in and out of the lineup. You know, put all those factors together, and it's no wonder they're 23-24 this season, you know, far off the marks we projected for them, you know, by this point in the year. They got a lot of issues to fix. They got a lot. And until they address those things, you know, this string together consistent wins, that's just going to continue.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Let me ask you this, because again, you travel with the team. You're literally the definition of an insider. Is there any update or news on James Wiseman? Because like he suffered a sprained ankle, I feel like almost a month ago. I don't know when that actually was. We've gotten no updates. I don't see him on the injury report all the time. Any news on James Wiseman? And if you don't know specifically, like why the mystery, I guess, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's been quiet on the Wiseman front. You know, started with a strange turned ankle during a routine practice, and he's now missed a handful of games because of it.
Right.
Wiseman's ascension from the G League back to the big club had a lot to do with, you know, just being able to have more front court size in light of all these injuries and absences. But you know, if I had to guess, I think at this point the Warriors are just taking it slow with him to avoid any further setbacks. And like I said, they're more healthy now than they've been in a long time. So Wiseman isn't exactly needed at this point. He wasn't really factoring into the rotation earlier in the season when guys were healthy. Now the guys are healthy again. He's kind of back in that weird limbo spot.
Yeah. And it is a weird spot that he's in. You know, Jermichael Green, this is a player who had, I guess, a 2-part question regarding Jermichael Green. One, did you ever find out what the details were with that right leg infection? Like, that's a weird injury. Like how did he get infected? Like, what was the infection? And why did he not play the last game? I thought he was fantastic in Cleveland. Or why do you think he didn't play last game?
That was a big mystery to me too. You know, he looked very good against Cleveland, looked rested. He looked bouncy. Looked like the guy who was back fresh and ready to contribute. So it was a big head scratcher that didn't get any minutes against the Brooklyn Nets on Sunday, you know, after playing so well just a game prior.
Yeah.
Not sure what the reason for that is. Maybe that's something I can ask Kerr tomorrow at practice. But it's definitely strange. You know, Kerr kept the rotation to, I think, 9 players yesterday.
Correct.
And you would think that Jermichael Green would factor into that somehow, especially with the team going small, you know, against a larger team like the Nets, needing more athleticism and size in the front court. You'd think he'd play in a game like that. But he didn't. And, you know, it's a question all in itself. In terms of his lower right leg infection, you know, I agree that it's something you don't see every day on the injury report.
Yeah.
After the Cleveland game, they put Green on the podium. He actually said, you know, his whole absences, it started during the Warriors' East Coast, 6-game East Coast road trip. He came down with coronavirus while the team was in New York. So he actually had to stay in New York and then the entire week while he was quarantining before he was able to come back to the Bay. Once he gets back to the Bay, he never specified how the infection started, but he did give us reporters some advice. He said, don't pop a bump, don't pop a zit. it was specifically a staph infection, right?
Gotcha.
So, you know, based on that, you know, maybe he had, you know, some type of welt or, you know, fluid-like bubble on his leg, popped it, and, you know, infected the rest of the leg. But it was serious enough that he actually had to go spend the night in the hospital.
Wow.
One, glad to hear he's feeling better. And, you know, two, you know, that's just wild. You know, like I said, yeah, that's not something you see every day on the injury report. And when you're dealing with something like that, it's understandable that you'll miss the time that he did.
It is, man. And it was just weird because he even had it wrapped and covered in the game he played in Cleveland. And that is just unusual, man. This whole season's unusual. You know, you played college basketball. You played D1 basketball for Auburn. So you've got a special level of insight. You've told me some crazy stories behind the scenes that I'm not going to share on the show, but they're incredible. You've seen and done a lot. And I know this question doesn't have to do with drama per se, but the Moses Moody situation, man, have you ever seen anything like that in terms of a player, I guess, just being confused in terms of his role? Like, we have no idea if Kerr likes him a lot. What's your impression of this whole Moses Moody situation? And what do you think the team should do?
It's another tough one.
Sorry, man.
I don't think it's a matter of Kerr disliking Moses Moody. I mean, every chance he gets, he raves about Moses's work ethic and his
ability
to stay prepared for, you know, any given opportunity. So I don't think it's as simple as, oh, Kerr doesn't like Moses Moody. I said this before and I'll say it again. I think it just comes down to the fact that the Warriors have a logjam in the backcourt. You know, Moody's not playing over Stephen Curry or Klay Thompson or Andrew Wiggins, who also plays on the wing,
right?
Or Jordan Poole. And those guys are going to each get, you know, you know, in Poole's case, maybe closer to like the, you know, now he's starting. You know, all those guys are going to get like 30 to 40 minutes per game, right?
Right.
The Warriors need those guys on the court to win. And, you know, despite the flashes we've seen from Moody, you know, despite, you know, his high field goal percentages and things of that nature, I think the story I was writing earlier this afternoon, although the minutes discrepancy is obviously off because, you know, Moody's not always on the court at the end of the games.
Right.
I mean, clutch time this season, I think he's like top three on the Warriors, you know, in clutch time, which is like when a game is like 5 points or less with 5 minutes left. So Moody is good. He's young. You know, he's still learning. But the fact remains that there's not a lot of room in the rotation for him at this point. You know, until he can get, he's good at a lot of things, but until he can get extremely proficient at one thing, whether it's 3-point shooting, defense, anything, it's just hard for him to get consistent minutes. What the Warriors should do with him, you know, that's tough. You know, you got the whole 2 timeline plan going on. You know, Moody is seen as a piece for the future of that backcourt.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what's going to happen with, you know, Clay's contract next season or a couple seasons. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, being able to keep a former lottery pick on your roster who's still learning and developing behind these guys is really valuable. But I will say this. When you look at these young pieces that the Warriors have as we get closer to the trade deadline, I would say outside of Jonathan Kuminga, who I would think is untouchable at this point, especially the way he's been playing since coming back from injury.
Right.
Moody is probably the most valuable, one of the most valuable trade chips this team has. I'm not saying they deal him. I think I read a report from Anthony Slayer that, you know, the Warriors aren't necessarily looking to move any of their young pieces at the deadline. They kind of want to stand pat. But, you know, if they were to move a piece, you know, Wiseman's such a question mark. There's probably not that much interest around the league. Kuminga's been so good, you can't let him walk out of your organization. Moody, on the other hand, you're good in the front court. You're good in the back court. You know, he's not really, you know, getting the minutes he could. You know, you put Moody on the Hornets, I mean, he's probably averaging like 15, 20 a game.
Yeah.
I'm being real. You put Moody on the Hornets, and you've seen it in flashes during his tenure with the Warriors. I always think back to that game in Denver last season. I think it was in like late February, early March, where Kerr sat his starters. Moody played. He dropped 30.
Yes, he did.
Keep in mind, Denver's entire team, for the most part, was healthy. You know, Jokic was on the floor. Aaron Gordon was on the floor. These guys were playing. And I just thought that was so impressive and, you know, such a peek into what he can be. And we've seen that numerous times throughout his brief tenure with the Warriors. So, you know, he has it in him. It's just a matter of, is he going to be able to continue to carve out his role with something very specific? Or somehow will the Warriors find some room in the rotation for him to get enough minutes to show what he can do?
You're absolutely right. And I'm so glad you brought that up. And the reason why I bring up Moody is I love Moody. I feel like he's being shortchanged in terms of just not getting minutes. Because you're right, they're deep at the wing position. You didn't mention Dante DiVincenzo, who is – I love him. And then there's the divisive player, where I don't think Moody should be playing behind Ty Jerome in terms of minutes. But – look, it's Kerr's team, not mine, obviously, and this is the way it's rolling. All right, we're going to have a lot more with CJ in just a moment, but first, it's time to give some love to a new and awesome sponsor of Locked On Warriors, and that's FanDuel. The NFL playoffs are here, folks. If you're a Niners fan like me, you're buzzing, you're stoked, you're amped for the NFC Championship game, and we're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they are the number one sports book in America, and that's FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. And in fact, I want to quickly touch on something from FanDuel that they just published, and that's the latest odds in regards to the favorites for the NBA title. So the updated NBA title odds right now, courtesy of the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Celtics are the favorites to win the championship at plus 390. The Milwaukee Bucks second at plus 550. A slight surprise, the Brooklyn Nets, a little higher than what I would give them personally. They're plus 800, tied with the Nuggets at third. And right there at five, despite the fact they're a game under 500, the Golden State Warriors are plus 850. So the Warriors are still in the mix, courtesy of FanDuel. And if you want to bet there, it's super fun. New customers, if you join today to get started, you get $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. All you have to do is sign up at FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. You can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. Everything that's on the app, it's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow CJ Holmes, beat reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle, covering the Golden State Warriors, at CJ Holmes 22. He prefers retweets, folks. Don't just hit that damn like button. Retweet it so everyone can see it. I love your philosophy in that regard and a lot of things. What's your opinion on the two-way players, man? Like Anthony Lamb didn't play in that Nets game, and he wasn't listed on the injury report. So the speculation, and maybe you can confirm if this is fact or not, was that he was kept out because he only has 12 eligible games remaining for the regular season. I think Ty Jerome has like 10 more games than Lamb. But in your opinion, because I highly doubt anyone knows the answer to this, but you're there day after day. You're literally an insider. What do you think this team's going to do? Are these two-way players going to stay two-way players and not be eligible in the postseason? Do you think one or both will get guaranteed deals? And any thoughts you have on these two-way guys? And I know it's sorry for so many tough questions, but these are the ones burning in me. And I think a lot of people are curious to know. And dude, you do an amazing job with the Chronicle. So thanks for putting up with it. And what do you think about the two-way guys?
Well, let me start with this. And I wrote this a couple weeks ago, but Ty Jerome and Anthony Lamb and so good for the Warriors that it's hard to envision how their rotation will function without them. They've been that good. When it two-way guys, the Warriors hit a home specifically. You know, he was on the injury report early in the afternoon entering the game. He was cleared last minute but ended up not sitting out. You know, in my mind, that just comes down to, you know, if you're not 100%, why waste a game? You know, talking about that, you know, two-way limit that both Lamb and Jerome are quickly approaching. It's tough right now because the Warriors have, what, one roster spot left. You know, you got the luxury tax crunch. So yep. Signing any of those guys to a minimum, even a minimum, if you convert them, is going to, you know, multiply, you know, considerably right. against the luxury tax. And it's tough, right? It's tough, but you know, point earlier, they've both been so good, and as they get closer to their two-way limits, if the Warriors do decide not to convert one or both, you know, depending on any other subsequent moves that are made, because obviously, if you want to convert one or the other moves will have to be made. You know, whether it's right. You know, you drop a guy on a salary dump or something that to make room. But it's a tough spot to be in because they've been so good. And those are guys that I think you're going to want in your postseason rotation. But back to my point about Moody, right? At some point, both of those guys are going to have to sit. That is the opportunity for Moody, you know, yeah. What is he, 6'6", 6'7", to, you know, try to slide into the rotation and make himself feel felt.
Yeah, I'm really baffled as to why I hear you hyping the two-way guys up, and I've been kind of become synonymous as like a bit of a hater on them. I don't hate them. I just don't like the fact that Lamb's getting minutes over Wiseman, Lamb's getting minutes over Jermichael Green, Ty Jerome's getting minutes over Moses Moody. And if the team wasn't a game below 500 at the 47-game mark, I'd be all for it. But, you know, they're not doing great. And really the main difference between last year and this year, besides Jermichael Green and Dante DiVincenzo, are these two-way guys getting heavy minutes? And so, like, I have a lot of pause in terms of, like, praising them and saying they're, like, these clutch additions just because they're not winning. I mean, they're a game below 500, but yourself and a lot of other people are singing a different tune, and maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. We'll see what happens, man. But that is a huge mystery, right? Like, do you think that's hanging over the team? Like, the fact that these two players that have kind of, like, really, I mean, it seems like their teammates love them. So if the teammates love them, I don't envision them going anywhere. But is it hanging over the team that, like, this huge decision is lurking and these two pieces that have become pretty integral just might be gone at some point soon? Like, is that an issue in your mind, a distraction for the team?
I mean, absolutely. It completely alters the makeup of the roster and the rotation. It's definitely something the Warriors have been thinking about. And, you know, Kerr has spoke about it more in, you know, recent weeks as we get closer to that deadline. So it's definitely on their minds on how they handle it. You know, how they handle it will, you know, that's gonna be a big factor in how the rest of the season plays out.
Dude, makes your job easy. That's some great content to cover right there. What is your impression of Bob Myers being on an expiring deal? I know, like, front office stuff might be, you know, outside of the realm of your coverage. Maybe it's within it. I don't know. But everyone I've spoken to says that's weird. That is not the norm. He could, in theory, just walk after this season. Is that something to make a big deal out of? Do you think that's not a big deal? What are your thoughts on Myers being on the last year of his deal?
Personally, I don't think it's a big idea. You know, Bob Myers is Bob Myers. He's brought four championships to this organization due to directly influenced by the decisions he's made.
Yeah.
So I think right now Bob Myers has a lot of other things to worry about than a contract extension that's essentially a given. you know, so I think Bob's worrying about the season at hand, you know, which is pretty unselfish thing to do.
Yeah.
And necessary, you know, at this point, considering where the team's at. And when it's time for an extension, when it's time to sign that extension, I have no doubt that, you know, Joe Lacob and Bob will get something done.
Oh my God, I love your optimism,
you know, considering,
man.
Considering Bob wants to stay.
Right, right. You're coming in here with such great news, man. I love it. Thanks for the positive energy. I want to give you huge props again. Your 1 year anniversary is coming up. That is a huge milestone for any organization, dude. And to be the beat reporter of the Warriors, covering the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle, that's huge. Congrats. And you have an analysis piece coming up. I don't know when it's going to be published, but if you do know that information, let the people know, please. And what's your story about? I know it has to do with the late game struggles of the team, but please break it down in terms of what you're working on.
Well, as last night's loss to Brooklyn showed, the Warriors have a problem closing out games, you know, as they did Thursday night in Boston. And although it's been, you know, more scrutinized over the last three games, it's something that's been an issue all season long. So I just kind of dove into the numbers on, you know, NBA.com, looked at the stats and tried to come to the conclusion of why that's the case. In short, some of it is shot selection, other it's turnovers. Some of it is, you know, excessive fouling, which has also been an issue all year long. So, that story will run, sometime this evening, probably in the next 30 minutes or so.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Not up already.
All right.
When my editors get done with it and, please give it a read.
Oh my God. Okay. So we're recording this on January 23rd, it's about 5:30 right now. So that means by the time people watch this video, it will be out. So subscribe to the San Francisco Chronicle. You know, I still get the print edition, man. So that's how old school we are here. But again, the sfchronicle.com is the website. CJ Holmes is on Twitter at CJHolmes22, where you can find all his content. Anything we forgot to touch before we go, CJ? Like, is there anything you want to promote? I guess here's my farewell question or my final question to you. Not farewell. Sorry. Just, I hope to have you back on again soon. I love you. I love you coming on, man. Do you think the Warriors will repeat as world champions? That's a huge question. The West is just, I feel like the whole NBA is up in flux right now. What are your thoughts on that? If you had to make a prediction today, are the Warriors repeating as world champions or are they going to fall short?
You know, as you said, the West is wide open. And although they're a game under 500 right now, they're just one winning streak of 8+ games away from being firmly in the playoff picture. With that said, I can't say with confidence that they're going to repeat as NBA champions this year. As things are going right now, a lot can change. You know, we could be having a completely different conversation by mid-February, early March. But the fact remains, the Warriors have a lot of issues that they have to solve. You know, on both sides of the ball. And right, as we just touched on, they have some rotation things they're going to have to iron out here in the next few weeks as well. And, you know, you look at teams like Denver, Boston, even Cleveland, like all these top teams across the league, it just seems like they have it more figured out at this point of the season. No one has it completely figured out at this point of the season. That's why you play regular season games.
Right.
But the Warriors just seem a little bit more behind the pack compared to everyone else. So no, I don't think right now they're in a position to repeat as NBA champions. But as the Warriors taught me last season and during last season's postseason run, that, you know, they're one of the rare teams in this league that can flip a switch. And if they're able to do that somehow, I wouldn't be surprised either.
Absolutely.
And it's crazy because you can't say that about a lot of teams in basketball.
I feel like the only other team you could really say that about, maybe there's two of them. The Lakers, maybe.
Those are 23-24 to win a title, right?
It's crazy. It's crazy. And the Clippers, like, somehow maybe could do
and
something
Curry,
like that.
Klay Thompson and the players on that roster and the job Kerr has done, right? But, God, just right now it just looks so murky.
It is, dude. By the way, I mean, I know, before you go, how is the White House? Like, you were with the – obviously you travel with the team. You're a beat reporter. That's part of the job. What was that like, man? I mean, I'm following you on Instagram, so I saw all your stories and obviously all the stuff you published. publicly was amazing. Was it as cool as it looked from the photos, man? What was the experience like?
It was a cool experience. And, you know, I grew up in D.C., so, you know, I got to spend basically the entire week at home.
Oh, home cooking.
The house multiple times. You know, I got people in my family who've, you know, worked in government on Capitol for years. So it was a good experience to, you know, be there and share that moment with the Warriors and chronicle it if it ever comes to that.
Hell yeah, man. I would hope to read that soon. And I hope to have you back on the show again soon. And just to let people know, like, every time I come to a Warriors game, and I'm going to make a lot more appearances starting next month when my life hopefully will be a little less hectic. You're always one of the coolest characters, always one of the most genuine characters, the nicest characters. You're a bit of the life of the party in that media room. I love it. But I just want people to know that CJ Holmes behind the scenes is just really just a great dude, man. And I'm looking forward to seeing you at a game soon. Thanks, dude. Anything you want to promote? Are we good? San Francisco Chronicle? Is that it? Twitter? CJ Holmes 22? That covers it all, right? I think.
Yeah, that covers it all. Thanks for having me.
All right, brother. Thank you so much, man. Take care. Thanks, everyone.